I'll ask you, if you will, to turn your Bibles to 1 John, the second chapter. We'll begin reading in verse 24 and read through verse 29. We continue teaching about the marks of one who is born again. The question posed is the title of our sermon series, Are You Born Again? And we've looked at a couple of characteristics. One who is born again does not practice sin. Didn't say he didn't sin, but they don't practice sin. They're not a practitioner of sin. They cannot do what they once did to the extent that they once did if they're born again. And secondly, one who is born again believes that Jesus is the Christ. That's the earmark. They can't just believe anything they want to. A Bible believer is certainly one that is born again that believes the Bible, and the Bible says that Jesus is the only way. So Jesus is the Christ. So thirdly, we want to look at this morning what it says in 1 John 2:29, everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. That's what John writes here, and we want to look at that. The New King James Version that I read out of, it says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. And so we began seeing another mark or identification or characteristic of a child of the living God that's truly born again. And that's what John is teaching here in his epistles. He warns a lot of, about false teachings. And so we go all the way through the Bible and we see a lot of that in the New Testament. But John spends some time on that and warns others of being deceived. Very important that we're not deceived in what we hear. Very important that you don't take what I say to be the gospel. You want to go behind me and study it out. Make sure that I'm preaching the truth. Many false prophets in the world today. I trust that I'm not one of those, but you need to go behind me and check me out. Make sure that it's, what I'm saying is so and it comes from the Word of God. You're accountable for that. I'm accountable for presenting the truth, for rightly dividing the word of truth, but you also are accountable for what you hear and then responsible for studying that and then walking in the truth of God's Word. And so that's connected to what he's talking about when he said, everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. That's a characteristic. What is a characteristic? One that's born again, one that does righteousness or lives the right way or lives according to the Word of God. We might say it many different ways, but all of them mean the same thing. So let's look at 1 John in the second chapter. He'll start with a therefore, and you can go back home today and read what all that's talking about before that previously. But for time's sake, we want to just begin reading this passage of Scriptures, and then we'll talk about abiding in Christ. And we're going to turn to the Gospel of John also and look and see what John had to say about that. 1 John 2:24 says, therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. There again, John is talking about those deceivers that have already come in, those false prophets, those antichrists, those that would try to lead them down a path that would lead to hell, actually. And so he's warning against those deceivers. But listen to what he says. God has given to us that are truly the ones who has the promise that he just talked about, that of eternal life. That is the eternal life that will enable us to spend the rest of eternity where there is no end with God our Father, those who have truly been born again. He gives us warning. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But listen how God has fixed those that are truly born again. He said, there's an anointing that abides in us or on us. Verse 27 says, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. In other words, that word abide says it takes up its abode, its residence in you. We're housed. Actually, temples, our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost, and it's speaking of that anointing of the Holy Spirit of God that is in us. He says, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in Him. That's the purpose of this anointing, that it shows us the truth, and that we will abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just an aside there, when it says you do not need that anyone teach you, it doesn't mean that we don't have preachers and teachers. We do have that. It's just talking about the Holy Spirit of God will lead us in the way of all truth. He's our main teacher, but the Lord has raised up preachers and teachers to teach us and to share the truth with us also. But, he says, that anointing will teach you, or has taught you, that you will abide in Him. Now listen to what he says in verse 28. And now, little children, abide in Him. Having said that, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Why is that? Because he that is born again doeth righteousness. Now they will not be ashamed. They will be found faithfully serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because that's the way God has ordained it to be. God said He will make sure that we finish the race. And so that's what He's talking about, that we would not be ashamed at His coming. What is He talking about? When Christ comes again, that final time, He's coming back. He promised that He was coming back. And He'll come a second time without sin. He'll come victorious, as I was teaching about last week. Listen to verse 29, and this is our text that we're using here. If you know that He is righteous, if you know that Christ is righteous, if you know that, or since you know that, as a child of the living God, you know that there is no sin in the Savior, you know that He is perfectly righteous. He is the model of righteousness. He pleased God with everything that He did. God made that manifest, even with a voice from heaven. This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And in another section He says, hear ye Him. That one that He's talking about here. If you know that He is righteous, He's the one, Jesus Christ, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. They don't become born of Him because they practice that righteousness. Because they're born of Him, they practice righteousness. They follow their Savior. They act like their Savior. They have the mind of their Savior. Many ways that you can put this, many ways that you could look at what He's got to say here. Now listen to what MacArthur says about verse 28 when he says, talking about abiding in Him, and we're going to be turning to John in the 15th chapter, if you want to kind of start flipping there. He said, John repeats his emphasis on abiding that he said in verse 27 to introduce it as the first feature of the believer's hope. Whenever John refers to abiding, he is referring to persevering in the faith of salvation, which is evidence of being a true believer. So persevering in faith is taught throughout the Scriptures as an indication or a characteristic of being, or the evidence of being, a true believer. The Bible speaks of believers, and then they're true believers. It may say that one believed on His name. It said in John, matter of fact, we will go in a little bit. We won't quite get to that part, but the latter part of the 6th chapter said there were many that believed on Him, and said when He began saying that you've got to drink My blood and eat of My flesh, said many of His disciples turned and walked no more. They were called disciples, but they weren't true disciples because they did not continue on with their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It wasn't their Lord and Savior. They thought they was. They mimicked it. They followed Him for whatever reason. But when He began preaching hard doctrine, they said, this is hard doctrine. Who can hear it? He said, many turned and walked no more. That's what began separating, you see, those that profess to be believers and true believers. Is hard doctrine or not, they continue on following after the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we turn to John, the 15th chapter, and you're familiar with these verses of Scripture. I got a lot of marks today, a lot of Scripture references today. John, the 15th chapter, of course, talking about the true vine and God being the vine dresser. And this is the relationship of believers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to what Jesus says. John has recorded that. And this is the words of Jesus. He said, "I am the true vine." So we don't have to do anything but read the Word of God, and we'll find out who Jesus is. And He'll tell us, "I am the true vine. I'm the one that you want to follow. I'm the one that you want to come to. I'm the one that you want to abide in." So there's no problem with that when we read the Word of God. The problem is, if we're natural men, we won't have that. We wouldn't understand that. We can't until God breaks our heart, until He opens our heart. And then we began seeing He is Jesus, and then we began believing the Word of God even more and more. As we're talking, as Brother Lamar was teaching on faith, we all have faith. Sometimes it's the matter, all the time, it's the matter of whether we believe or whether we're unbelieving in what the things that God says before us. The more we study the Word of God, the stronger that believing in Christ becomes, the less unbelief we have. We don't doubt. We're more like Peter stepping out on the water. And that's what faith is all about. That's a beautiful picture of walking by faith. Doing that which is contrary to the nature of man. Man would think, step on water, you're going to sink like a rock. You're right. But we're not natural anymore. If we're born again, we're supernatural. We can do what God has called us to do, and that's a great picture of living by faith. We must believe in things not yet seen. We must believe the words of Jesus, who we've not seen with our own eyes, who we've not handled. We simply believe by faith the things that He says, and God has loved us enough to not only give us the Holy Spirit, who will guide us in the way of all truth, not only give us the Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sins, but gave us a book that we can study and read and meditate upon that builds up our most holy faith. You see, and so we read these things and we begin believing and trusting even more so in God and in our Savior and in the Holy Spirit. "I am the true vine," He says, "and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that He may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." We cannot do one thing to please God apart from God. We're not going to come up with something apart from Him or outside of Him or nothing done through Jesus that will not please God. The only way that we can please Him is abide in Him. That is, understand how this concept is, that He is the main vine and we're the branches from there, and the only way fruit can be born is as we abide in Christ. As we love Him, as we do the things He's commanded us, as we're obedient to the Word of God, all this is what fruit bearing is all about, the right kind of fruit bearing. He's saying there that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Well, right there is the Jews that thought they were in Christ. And there's a purging there. There's a taking away. They really weren't in Him. And then we'll read here in just a little bit what happens to those that are not real. He said, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself," that's telling us that we cannot do nothing without Christ, "unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches." Understand? We might say it another way. Christ is the head of the church, you're the body. He said, "I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." We cannot get away from the truth of God's Word that God's people are fruit-bearing people. They will do righteousness. That's what we're getting back to. Remember, that's one of the characteristics we're talking about. They will bear fruit. Sometimes a little, sometimes it's a little bit more, sometimes it's a little bit more than that, sometimes it's much fruit. But here, he says, if we're abiding in Him, and bear, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. If you're abiding in Christ, believing, trusting in him. For without me, you can do nothing. We've said that many, many times, haven't we? If anyone does not abide in me, now listen to the distinction now. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. There's a symbolic symbol of hellfire itself, isn't it? These are those that do not abide in Him. So what is that saying? He said there's believers and unbelievers. All true believers abide in me. All unbelievers do not abide in me. They're taken away, gathered up, and thrown and burned in the fire. If you abide in me, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you see now how Jesus is bringing the Word in. It's right there together. You know, a lot of times we're talking about the Word, the capital W Word. It's hard to distinguish between Jesus Christ and the Holy Word of God. Because sometimes it seems like they're saying one and the same. We know Jesus Christ is the person of God, but the Word, He said, my words abide in you. He said, listen to what He says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. What is he saying? My teachings. That which I've instructed you to do. That which I've commanded you to do. Not suggested to do. God has never suggested to his people to do a particular thing. He has always commanded us to do that which we need to be doing for his honor and glory. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified. Now, what is our main purpose in life? Is to glorify God, right? That's our main purpose. That's the only reason you're allowed to even be on planet Earth, is to glorify God. Now, we don't do that when we're not born again. We don't glorify Him in the sense that we're talking about here. When we're born again, now our sole purpose has changed. Our mindset's changed. We've become new creatures. We're learning now. I have a purpose in life. I'm not just my own God around my little universe. I'm serving the God, the one true and living God. And I'm to bring glory to His name in all that I do. And so that's what He's plainly saying now when He says this. Back up in verse 7 again. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified. What is it that we would be asking to do? Everything that we ask in His name would be in His name according to His will. What will that do? That will glorify the Father, wouldn't it? That's not some selfish a blank check that's written there to fill in where we want to. You know, that's in the context of the Word of God. He that does the will according to the will of God. And that's when we're born again. That's now become our desire where before it wasn't our desire. To do our will is our desire when I'm dead in trespasses and sin. But to be born again means that I have a different desire, and that's to do the Father's will. Why? Because Jesus was saying, I am the true vine. You're the branches. You abide in me. Well, if I abide in Him, what was Jesus' purpose again? Is to come to what? Do the will of God. So what is I'm going to do because I'm a branch and I'm abiding in Christ? What are you going to do as a true believer? Because you're a branch and you're abiding in the vine, you're going to do the will of God. That's what you want to do. That's what abiding is all about. That's what abiding means. That's what taking up your household means, is living for the glory of God. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Now, if we didn't understand grace, we'd get all mixed up right along in here. He said, the only way to be my disciples is to bear much fruit. Sounds like works to me, but it's not. It's a faith that works. And because we are branches, if we are true branches, we are going to bear fruit. As we abide in Christ, we'll bear much fruit. That is, as we are in fellowship with Him, following after all that He has commanded us to do and teaching us to do. We find that to be so in our lives. And so there we find that abiding and what that means. We're talking about everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Now we're talking about abiding. Again, MacArthur, the word abide means to remain or stay around. If you're a true believer, you're going to remain or stay around the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be in the fellowship of His saints. You're going to love His Word. You're going to pray. You're going to do all the things that God calls upon His people to do. And you desire to do that because your desires are different than they were before Christ, before you were saved, before you were born again. So the word abide means to remain or stay around. The remaining is evidence that salvation has already taken place and not vice versa. The fruit or evidence of salvation is continuance in service to Him and His teaching. The abiding believer is the only legitimate believer. Abiding and believing actually are addressing the same issue of genuine salvation. And so you begin to see how that's come together, how that has to be. That's part of the process of being a child of the living God. Now, that was what He said in the Gospel of John. And listen to the commentary again going on, turning back to 1 John in the second chapter there in verse 28. He said, "The hope of Christ's return produces the effect of continual abiding in every true believer as they long for the glorious future prepared for them." We have a hope, see, past this life. If we just look to this life, we'd be hopeless. But we have a hope beyond the grave that Christ is coming again. He's who He said He is. And we see this abiding, we see this effect on true believers as we're looking forward to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul called it loving His appearing, as he's talking to Timothy, you know, loving His appearing as He comes back. And said those who do that are the ones who will be crowned with eternal righteousness in heaven. Abiding signifies a permanent remaining in Christ and guarantees the believer's hope. When are you the most hopeful in this life? When you're in the service of God, when you're doing His will. Why is that? God has connected all these things together. Hope and all these evidences that we have do not lay dormant when we're actively pursuing God. David said he pants after God. He pursues God like a deer pants after water. You can see a running deer through the wood and he just give out and he stops for that drink and he's just slurping it up as fast as he can because he's actually, we use the term dying of thirst. You know, you get so thirsty, you just got to have that water. David's saying that's the way I thirst after my God. When I abide, when I thirst after my God like that, that's what I'm talking about. That's what brightens my hope. That's what makes all this real, and sometimes it doesn't seem so real. When I'm in the will of God, when I'm abiding in Christ, I find this to be so. And that's what John is saying when he said, "Everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him." That's a characteristic or an evidence that we are His. Abiding signifies a permanent remaining in Christ and guarantees the believer's hopes. Those who truly abide continue in the faith and in the fellowship with the saints. Verse 19 back up there, if you'll look right up there above there, this is a scripture that's very plain. It's hard not to understand this. This would also be in 1 John 2:19. "They went out from us." Now he's talking about a crowd of folks here now. Some believers and some are not believers. But he says, "They," and we'll see who they are in a minute, "they went out from us." Why did they do that? Because they were not of us. They were not born again. They looked like it. They acted like it. But you know, something was said or another scripture was read, part of the gospel that maybe they hadn't heard before. They heard it and said, "Ooh, I can't do that. That's not me. I don't want none of that. It's too hard. I'm not no sacrifice. I'm not willing to do that." These people, they just misled me. I'm not staying with it. For whatever reason, they leave and don't come back. Why? Why'd they leave? Because they had no real faith. Real faith stays. The word abides, says it does. It remains. It hangs with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's part of what God has given us. Isn't that marvelous? What God has done for His people. What if it had been by works? Wouldn't have nobody been there. Because we've all been unfaithful. But listen to what it says about this group of people so that you know there's a distinguishing mark here. And that's why really John goes on to pursue this thing of abiding in Christ. It's very important to understand. Just another word, abiding is a persevering faith is what this is. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, he's going to give you the reason now and the answer, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Their faith was not real. They were said they were believers, but they're really unbelievers. They're apostate. They're, whatever you want to call them, their faith was not real. They were not born again because had they been born again, they would have done righteousness. They would have abided in Christ. They would have remained with Him and with His people in the fellowship of the saints. So there's a great scripture there that really distinguishes it. You can't get around that one. That's pretty plain. Pretty plain. I used to get around that because I didn't read 1 John much. I just stay away from it. Didn't understand it. So I thought that's what you did. You just stay away from it. Big mistake. You don't do that. If you don't understand it, get down on your knees and ask God. Say, God, show me this. Because I need to understand your word. I was just talking to Boo today. We were in our Bible study talking about the word of God, how important it is to discern the word of God or to study it and rightly divide that truth. It's so easy to read the scriptures that you hear repeatedly, maybe a handful over and over. That's how a false doctrine gets started. You just hear a certain set of scriptures, but you never hear the other side of it or a balance in it. And there's some scriptures that really are hard to understand. Peter said that. There's some that's hard to understand. But he didn't say it was impossible to understand it. He didn't say it was impossible, but that takes getting down on those knees and asking God, God, bless me to see this. I want to be well balanced. I don't want any false thing in me. Take the false out. Put the truth in me so that I can do what you commanded me to do, and that's to worship you in spirit and in truth. And this is what he's talking about when he's talking about abiding. That's what abiding does. It brings us into the realm of truth where we hear these other things, we quickly know that's not right. That's not true. That's not what the Word teaches. And we need to know that. We need to know it needs to be in us. And when we digested the Word of God and we've known it, that's what separates us from others, from the false. It puts us in the realm of the true. And so he talks about that and what a blessing that is. He said, in contrast to verse 27, that you will abide. However, he commands, and that's an imperative word, he commands believers to abide. Now, wait a minute, he just got through saying, so I did all that. It sounds like he just sovereignly said, you're going to do it. But it's like all the rest of the things like I was just talking about. We need to rightly divide it, don't we? And understand what we understand. And just when we see two things that seem like a contradictory and the Word upholds both of them, we know they're not contradictory, but they're both true. And we need to understand it and just simply walk in that. God's business is God's business. It's all God's business. But then he commands us to do. Do what God commands you to do. And understand that God's doing what he's going to do. And his will's going to be done. And it's hard to understand sometimes. But that's not hard. He's got a curtain there. Now, maybe he'll show us that one day. I hope so. I hope to see some of that one day. But we live by faith. And that's what living by faith is all about. And this is what he's talking about. He gives an imperative command for believers to abide. The command signals that abiding is not passive. Brethren, there's nothing passive about the Christian life. And we say that, and we say, we can't do anything without Christ. You know, we do all things through Him. And it sounds like we're getting almost robotic on this when we talk about the sovereignty of God. But there's nothing passive about the Christian life. You know that. You know that through your trials and your struggles, through your studies, through your prayers, seeing prayers answered, sweating over the Scriptures sometimes, and praying fervently for someone or for something to happen in others' lives, praying for those that are lost, and then God in His mercy saves them. What a wonderful thing. I guarantee you weren't passive in that. You're not passive when it comes to your kinfolk, and you want to see them saved. You're not passive in that. No, you're actively pursuing and you're trusting God to work His will out. And so there's nothing passive about this thing called Christianity. Continual active abiding must be pursued by every genuine believer. We're working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God that works in you both the will and the way to do, according to His good pleasure. See, we're actively, that's an active, working it out. Working is not a passive word. Working reminds me of my job. I said sweat going on. You know, there's a lot of tiredness and a lot of effort. So it says salvation is eternal because of the Lord's side. He holds us, and because of our side, we persevere in faith and obedience. So we see both are true. I'm going to show you where that's true. Now we'll go back to John. Go back to John, the 6th chapter. Look at verse 37. Now I'm going to read down through 44. I'll try to do that quickly, and then I'm going to show you the other side of that. Salvation is eternal because of the Lord's side of it. He holds us. Listen to John 6, beginning in verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. I'd rather use the King James. Shall come to me. It just sounds better. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the Father's will who sent me, that of all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about Him because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that He says, I have come down from heaven? So you see a natural point of view here, a perspective of someone that's dead in sin. They don't understand. They don't believe. They're just looking at Jesus as Joseph and Mary's son. Misunderstanding the whole impact of what's being said. Eternal life's right before Him, and they can't see it because they don't have eyes to see. But He's also emphasizing the sovereignty of God in this too. So listen. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. We could go on and read that some more. There you see the sovereignty of God. You see that man is not going to come unless God draws him to come to Him. But then there's the other side of that that is just as true. Just as true. We persevere in faith and obedience. Look at John in the 8th chapter, verses 31 and 32. Two simple verses you've heard many, many times. Over in 6, we see God drawing. God. Jesus drawing. We see all this. You know, don't see much of man at all in that. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in my word. Now He's going back to what we're talking about. Now remember, everyone that doeth righteousness is born in Him. Everyone that is doing righteousness is those that abide in Him. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's not just for a handful of believers. That's describing believers. That's describing everyone that's born again of the Spirit of God. That's what He's talking about. Listen to what He said. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You are my disciples indeed. And so what's going to happen? That's our part to abide in Him, to do the will of God. Are we going to do it? God said, I'm going to make sure you're going to do it. You see? So we see both aspects. It's very confusing to some. And he makes this, again, this commentary. It is not unlike salvation in which God sovereignly saves, but not apart from personal faith from the one He saves. You see? God gives me the gift. He draws me. But I'm not going to be saved unless I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless I repent of my sins. But God sovereignly works all those things out. Or, in the case of sanctification, God conforms us to His Son, but not apart from obedience. The New Testament is rich with statements about God's work and the work of the believer. And so it is. And we see that time and time again. Again, back in 1 John, the second chapter, verse 29. I have to close that. It's getting late. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Again, MacArthur. This is the second feature of the believer's hope. The hope of Christ's return not only sustains faith, but makes righteousness a habit. We've got a new habit. We had an old habit. The old habit was unrighteousness. We were sinners, and we were practicing sinners. We now have a new habit. It's a great habit. And now we're found practicing righteousness or doing righteousness. Those truly born again as God's children have their Heavenly Father's righteous nature. As a result, they will display characteristics of God's righteousness. John looks from effect, which is righteous behavior, to cause, being truly born again, to affirm that righteous living is the proof of being born again. You see the difference? God moves, and the proof or the evidence that we are born again is that we do righteousness. We glorify God in that. We do the will of God. That's doing righteousness. Doing good works, that's doing righteousness. Living righteously in this present world is doing righteousness. Many scriptures say it different ways, but we find that this is a great characteristic, and one that is an encouraging characteristic to us as the children of God. We would close by saying this, 1 Peter 2:9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Now, what would the Apostle John say about you? We ask the question again. Are you born again? Do you do righteousness? Are you abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ? And we can rejoice and be exceeding glad, for God has touched our hearts and touched our lives. God bless you to understand that and walk in that, as my prayer, for Christ's sake.